Let's pray as we come to look at this passage. Father, we thank you so much for your word to us. We thank you that you speak to us today. Help me, as I speak, to speak the words by your Spirit, and help us all as we listen to hear what you have to say to us. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, we are in a year of discernment. You picked that up hopefully through Brenda's prayers, and you've been coming over the last year. Hopefully you picked it up already in lots of different ways. As churches in the centre of Ramsgate, we want to discern, to find out what God's vision, what God's will is for our churches in the coming 5 years up to the end of the decade, to have a sort of vision 2030. And it's a process we've been going through. We've been trying to listen to God. We've been praying a lot. We've had various meetings. We've been looking at questions in Bible study groups and collecting data, and a lot of you have filled in the online questionnaire, which we put out as well. I think 38 have filled it in the last time I checked. I'm hoping we may have a few more last-minute ones today. Just a reminder if you haven't done it already. So it'd be great if we can get to 50 on that. All sorts of ways. We're trying to collect lots of information and ideas and thoughts, but we need to come to a point where we actually discern, where we come to the pointy end of the year of discernment and seek to discover really what God wants for us in the coming years. And out of that, we hope to have a broad plan and strategy for the next 5 years, but probably to try and sum it up all together in one statement that sort of sums up and pulls together the ideas and the thoughts and the strategies that we got. And that's always a challenge, isn't it, to sum everything up in a statement that's broad enough to encompass everything, but not too broad that it becomes meaningless. And I got some vision statements from some big multinational companies. And I wonder if you can tell me what company they come from. So there's a bit of a quiz to start with. So here we go. Communications empowering people to accomplish more. Any ideas what company that might be? Sorry, shout it out. Don't feel shy. BT, good guess, but no. EE, another good guess, but no. Vodafone, yeah, you're along the sort of right lines. It's Zoom. Okay, so there you go. Next one. A global force of learning through play. Now, Beth got this straight away at St. George's, but she's not here now, so. Sorry? Oh, husband got it as well. Lego, there you go. Lego, okay. Big statement for a small brick company. And what about this one? We see a world where everybody is an athlete, united in the joy of movement. Don't know if you... Nike, that's right. Did someone say that? Okay, well, in Nike. I'm not sure that's how you see the world. What about this one? To create a better everyday life for the many people. Someone got this straight away at St. George's. Sainsbury's, no. Good guess. IKEA, yes, IKEA is the right answer. Yes, there you go. I'm not sure whether I copied it down wrong or it's just bad grammar anyway because it's a Swedish firm, but there you go. What about this one? To make the best products on earth and to leave the world better than we found it. Apple, yes. Andrew knows that one. I'm not a fan of Apple myself, you know. to provide access to the world's information in one click. Google, yes, that's probably the easiest one. This might be the hardest one. To make people happy. That's funny, they said that at St. George's as well. I never thought McDonald's makes you happy, but there you go. No other guesses? It's a hard one, isn't it? It's actually the Walt Disney Company. There you go. So there's a collection of vision statements. I don't know what you make of them. Probably if you're cynical, you're thinking, well, you know, they say these nice things, but the reality is they just want to make lots of money. And there's some truth behind that, isn't there? But actually, all of those statements are statements that are about doing good in the world. They're positive, aren't they? They're bold. They're ambitious. They want to make a real difference in the world, which is a good difference to make. And actually, if we're honest, most of us have been blessed in some way by what those companies have done. You probably enjoyed watching a Disney film, or you've been on Zoom in COVID, and that was a great boon to you. Or you've broken an Apple iPhone. I don't know, whatever it is. You found some kind of blessing through them. And actually, when we come to the Bible, we think about, are there vision statements in the Bible? Well, not quite the same as these kind of multinational vision statements. And certainly not statements that are come up with by people. But God does make statements about what he is going to do. You can call them vision statements. They're often called promises, because God is promising what he will do. And like the statements from these multinational companies, they're bold, they're ambitious, and they're global in scope. So let's turn to Genesis 12. And actually think about the immensity of the blessing that God is promising to Abraham. He calls him to make big sacrifices, to leave his home, to leave his family, to go to this new land. But in making those sacrifices, he makes this incredible, or gives this incredible vision of Abraham's future, or at least the future of his family. He says he's going to make him into a great nation. He's going to make his name great. He's going to be famous for good reasons. And he's going to be a blessing to the whole world. It's a promise full of blessing. It's a promise full of positivity. It's an immense promise that is worldwide in scope. And yet Abraham is not a 21st century AD multinational company that you might think, well, yeah, they can make an impact across the world. He's a 21st century BC refugee. And yet the God of the universe, the God of creation, comes to him and says, Abraham, I've got a unique and a special vision for you. And it's a vision of blessing. Now, I wonder what we think about when we think about blessing. Do you think about just feeling better, feeling good? We live in a world where we're very focused on our emotions these days. Well, actually, the Bible, the idea of blessing is much more positive and concrete than just feeling good. It's not just about making people happy, as Disney might say. It is about making bold, positive differences. And one way to think about it maybe is that to be blessed by God is to become the kind of person that you're meant to be, to flourish, to be fulfilled, to be able to do the things that God's created you to be able to do in the best possible way, and to get the fullness of life. One way to think about it actually is to go back and look at where God talks about blessing in the Bible. And I discovered when I thought about this yesterday that actually the first words God says to any human beings in the Bible are words of blessing. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. He says this, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every living creature that moves on the ground. That sense of flourishing, of growth, of life to the full, and of power. Let's be honest, of power as well. But power to be used for good. Now, I know we've used it for bad and made a complete mess of our world, but God's intention that as human beings we'd use it for good under his authority to bless the world. God's vision of blessing is a wonderful, it's a life-giving, it's a flourishing thing. And that psalm that we read just a little while ago, or at least Andrew read to us, just the first few verses again, blessed, it says, is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord and on his law he meditates day and night. Listen to this, he says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. You get that sense again of blessing is a sense of success, of solidity. That tree standing firm, of life, a tree that's flourishing because it's by streams of living water and its leaves never wither. And a tree that's fruitful. It blesses the world around it as well. And the Bible says, look, Abraham received a very specific blessing, but actually those who learn to live by God's ways and follow his laws, they will find blessing and flourishing too. And when you come to the New Testament, Jesus, when he comes and he preaches his first sermon, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, how does he begin the sermon? He says, blessed. And he has a whole list of kinds of people that are blessed. And what are the kinds of people that are blessed? Those that have God's values, God's insight, God's understanding of how to go about life and live life. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the humble, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But Jesus, of course, isn't talking necessarily about blessing in terms of having a lot in this life. His vision of success, if you like, of blessing is not quite the same as often Apple or Nike would see as a vision of success. It's not about making money. Actually, he says it's about something even more important. Store up your riches in heaven, not on earth. Why? Well, actually, you may think that things on earth are more real, are more obvious to you as a blessing. But he says that thieves will steal those. Rust will get in. Moss will eat them. The true riches, the ones that are really there, the ones that will last, are the ones in heaven, the ones before God. And when you follow Christ and come to him, God will bless you immensely. The verse we started our service with is this one from Ephesians. It says, where Paul says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so as we think about God's vision, do we see the vision as a vision that does bring us blessing? Do you rejoice in that? Are you happy about that? As we think about our vision for churches going forward, do we see it as a vision where our churches will be blessed? There'll be a life, a growth, a flourishing, a fruitfulness about them. I guess if you like me, your response to that question is to say, well, actually, mostly our churches in this country don't seem to be growing. Often don't seem to have much life about them. But then always that seem to be that fruitful. If you look at the history of the church in this country in general over the last 150 years, it has been one of decline. What's going on? Why is not God blessing us? It's worth pondering on that. And a few thoughts about that. Firstly, actually, Psalm 1 says the people that are blessed are those who meditate on God's word, who take it seriously, who want to live their lives by it. Do we really take God's word seriously? Are we focused on it as churches, as individuals? Is maybe our lack of blessing by God because we've not actually taken him seriously? We thought we knew better. And secondly, in Ephesians, Paul says, blessed are those who are in Christ. Are we truly in Christ? Fully in Christ? Or is our Christian faith a bit like having one foot in the water and the other foot out of the water? We just put our toes into trusting in God, or really wholehearted about it? And actually, for Abraham, it wasn't just as straightforward as God saying, bless him. For Abraham, he had to go. He had to leave his home. He had to leave his family. And maybe there are things that we as individuals, we as churches, need to let go of. Things that we think are valuable and important, we maybe even justify in Christian terms, but actually, God says, no, you need to let go of those things in order for me to properly bless you. That's a challenge, isn't it? It's hard to let go of things. But maybe that's one of the things that's preventing us from going forward with God and being blessed by God. But even if we do take God's word seriously, even if we are fully in Christ, even if we have let go of things, God's blessing doesn't always come straight away. God's timing is important. And it may be that God will say to us in this year of discernment that actually, you know, he's not going to bless us massively in the next few years, but he wants us to be faithful in the coming years to prepare for a future blessing. Maybe for some of us that future blessing will be beyond our own lives. For Abraham, God's timing seems strange. He was told by God that you are going to become a great nation. Later on, he says you'll have descendants like the stars in the sky and like the sand on the seashore. There'll be multitudes of them. And yet for Abraham, that seemed completely impossible, humanly speaking. Why? Because he was old and his wife was getting on a bit as well, and they hadn't had any kids at all. They were childless. How on earth were we going to have a child now? If you haven't got a child, how can you have grandchildren? If you haven't got grandchildren, how can you have numerous descendants? This blessing seemed impossible to Abraham. And yet Abraham believed. He trusted in God's promise, even though it seemed impossible. Hebrews 11, reflecting on this, says, "By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise." And years, decades even after this promise, this vision was given to Abraham, God did bless him with a child and Sarah, Isaac. And after Abraham was long gone, Isaac had two sons, and through one of his sons, God blessed them even more, so that Abraham's great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren reached a massive number of about 70, a couple of hundred years afterwards. And it wasn't until Exodus, hundreds of years later, that we're told that the numbers of Abraham's children had grown to be a great number. But by that stage, they weren't a great nation. They were in slavery, had no power, they had no land of their own. How is God going to fulfill the rest of the blessing and the promise and the vision? Well, that's for next week, because we'll look at Exodus next week. But you see how the blessing here in Genesis 12 drives the whole story of the Bible forward. And yet it's a story where the people involved have to be patient, have to have faith, have to look to a future that maybe even is beyond them. And for us, as we reflect on what our vision might be, actually, are we prepared to take on a vision that may seem impossible in human terms? Now, it needs to be a vision from God. It's quite easy to make up impossible visions that aren't from God, and they don't happen. But if it's a vision that truly is from God, we can't reject it because it seems impossible in human terms. We need to trust and believe. Will we have faith in God's vision? In that big overall vision of blessing that will come, and in the vision that he might give us in the coming years? And finally, do we see that actually God's vision of blessing us is not just about blessing us, but about blessing others around us? For Abraham, God said to him, "Look, I'm calling you and I want you to be a blessed. I'm going to bless you, but I'm going to make you a great nation." Great. But actually, I'm going to bless all nations. This is going to be an international blessing. That's a bold vision, isn't it? It goes back to those multinational companies that are talking about making a difference across the whole world. This one man, Abraham, is going to, through God's blessing, going to make a difference across the whole world as time goes on. Actually, by the time he gets to the end of Genesis and the story of Joseph, I won't go into it now, but Joseph, Abraham's great-great-great-grandson, ends up becoming leader in Egypt and is able to save Egypt from a famine and save all the nations around from famine as well by providing food for them. Through Abraham's descendants, the nations are blessed, even within the story of Genesis. But of course, that story looks forward further and further forward to ultimately the ultimate blessing comes through Jesus, who, though rejected by his own people, by the other descendants of Abraham and crucified, God raised up to his right hand to bless not just the Jews, not just Abraham's descendants, but all peoples and all nations. So that Jesus' last words in Matthew's gospel are, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Actually, we'll come to that in a few weeks' time. We are called not to be blessed, not just to be blessed by God, but to be a blessing to those outside of the church. That, of course, includes sharing the good news with them that they too can come and share with us in being blessed by God. But it also means blessing them in other ways. And, of course, it happens in all sorts of ways already. It happens through things like Cafe for All, Play and Praise, the after-school club that we're talking about starting up, the community meal at St George's, and lots of different ways in which our buildings are used for the community. We want to be a blessing to our town. And so the questions are, actually, do we see our work as fulfilling God's blessing? Do you see what you're about in helping out in different ways in church or in representing Christ in your workplace or families as part of this promise to Abraham 4,000 years ago to be a blessing to all nations? As we think about the vision God wants for us, how does God want us to be a blessing to his world today? It may be that if we can answer that question with God's insight and God's help, then actually we have the vision statement for what we're about over the next 5 years. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, for your vision. We thank you for your blessing on us. Help us to rejoice in the blessing we have in you. And help us to be a blessing to those around us. And guide us, Lord, that we might be clear on your vision for us, that we may be blessed as your church and be a blessing to the people of Ramsgate. In your name we pray. Amen.